A devoted disciple. Do you think that 2,000 years from now, people will be reading about you and your life story? What would make a person so significant that thousands of years later, they're still being remembered as someone who mattered? Perhaps it could be a person who made a difference in their community and impacted people. Maybe we could understand a king or a queen or a president being studied for a history lesson. Maybe we could understand if a person had invented something that changed the way people live forever, like cell phones or the internet, things like that. But simply to be remembered like Tabitha was, for her acts of compassion and devotion to God and others, it's amazing to me that we know about her at all, and that we know her name, especially since the writers of the scriptures were men, and they didn't always lift up women as role models in the stories that they chose to highlight in the scriptures that we read 2,000 years later. Remember that, as far as we know, tradition has it that the physician, Luke, is the one who wrote the Gospel of Luke and the one who wrote the book of Acts. So he tells us this woman's name, Tabitha. And he also tells us what it is in Greek, Dorcas. Tabitha was a devoted disciple, her friend said. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. But she had become ill and died. We see her Christian community gathered around at her wake. They were deeply mourning the loss of one who loved them so much and who gave of herself so generously to help. Especially notice that Luke says these were widows that gathered around her deathbed, mourning for her. Widows and orphans in those days really had it hard. There was no Social Security. There was no child welfare. There was nothing to help you unless, as a widow, you had older children that you could live with who would take care of you. Otherwise, you were homeless. Same with orphans. Unless some family took them in, they would probably die an early death. Tabitha had provided for these widows clothing out of her compassionate and generous nature, just like Jesus had been generous and merciful to so many people. Did you know that in small towns in the United States, some of the widows go to funerals to witness how many people attend? They kind of measure how much was this person loved by the number of people that attend. They also count the flower arrangements as an indication. How much was this person loved? How many people sent flowers? Now you might say, well, I never heard of this custom. Well, my grandma used to do it in the small town, and she wasn't alone. Several of the widows would get together and make a day of it. They would go to the funeral home and go have lunch after so they could socialize and talk about the deceased. But imagine if you could attend your own funeral. Who would be there grieving for you? What would they say about your life? Would they say, oh, he was a devoted disciple? How many flower arrangements would you have? Would they say you were devoted to good works and acts of charity? What would they say you were devoted to? We all make choices every day as to how we're going to use our allotted time on this earth and how we're going to use the talents and the resources that we've been given. We can choose to use them selfishly and keep them to ourselves, or we can choose to benefit and, as Reagan said this morning, to bless others, to bless. Apparently, Tabitha was a very good seamstress. And she particularly liked to help the widows because they had great needs. Imagine They had a hard time knowing where their food was going to come from, much less clothing. So she had helped many of them with her talent of being a seamstress. So they were gathered around her deathbed, and they were filled with sorrow and with gratitude. Tabitha was a generous soul, and she responded with compassion to those in need. What a lovely person she must have been. Look at the lives that she touched because she was a devoted disciple of Jesus. You see, a devoted disciple looks beyond themselves to see people in need around them, in their community, or in another country, people they may have never even met before. A devoted disciple goes out looking for ways that they can serve God by serving others. They pray for other people. They may take them to the doctor if they don't have a way. They might take them out to a movie once in a while, or visit them in a nursing home, or bring food when they're sick, or get some chicken soup made when they're in need of some chicken soup. A devoted disciple is always looking for an opportunity to make a difference in somebody's life and to share God's love in tangible ways. Now, she had been generous, but look at her faith community, how they also responded to her. They heard that Simon Peter was in the town of Lydda. It was 9 miles away. Now, they didn't have Uber or Lyft or taxis. They had to walk those 9 miles and then walk those 9 miles back. And they were in a hurry because she had just died and they wanted to get Peter there as soon as possible. So two men from her church family were sent by the faith community to go and ask Peter to come. We don't know if Peter knew Tabitha or not. He may never have met her before. But because Peter was connected to Jesus, and these disciples were disciples of Jesus, they had this bond of love. And Peter didn't even ask any questions. He just got up and went when they said they needed him. He also responded with compassion. There was immediate trust in their faith community. As soon as Peter arrived in the house, they took him upstairs to where Tabitha's body was laid. The widows were there weeping, and they began to tell Peter what a wonderful person she was, how she had helped them over and over and ministered to them. So Peter asked them to leave the room, and he knelt down and prayed. Do you remember this scene? It's very similar to a scene that Jesus and Peter and James and John encountered. One day, this person came named Jairus and asked Jesus to please come and help his little girl. His daughter was very ill. And Jesus said, "Of course I'll come." And on the way there, messengers came and said, "Don't bother Jesus anymore. The little girl died." And Jesus said, "She didn't die. She's sleeping." And they started laughing at Jesus because they knew she was dead. But when Jesus got there and saw the mourners, he sent everybody out of the room except Peter, James, and John. And he knelt down and prayed. And then he told the little girl, "Get up." And he took her by the hand, and she got up, and he told them to give her something to eat. Peter had seen this done by the Lord. And so when he got there, he asked everybody to leave the room. He knelt down and prayed and told her to get up, and she did. God has resurrection power. We may find that difficult to believe, but whether we believe it or not, God has resurrection power. The one who created life out of nothing also has power over death to bring life back from the dead. God used Peter as an instrument to revive Tabitha's life. And then Peter called back her friends and her community of faith, and they rejoiced that she was alive. And many people came to believe in Jesus because of her story and Peter's witness to the power of God through him. You see, Peter was a devoted disciple, and he responded to a need when he was called. You see, everyone is important in God's kingdom on earth. Little girls, grown women, boys and men, Jews and Gentiles, male and female, everyone is important to God. Every life is precious. And when we do works of mercy, they multiply and grow. Jesus taught that we should be merciful. Tabitha was a merciful woman. And then in her time of need, she received mercy. And her life was brought back. So does that mean that we serve God just so we can expect some miracle to be done on our behalf? That we serve God so that God will owe us some favors that we can cash in when we need them? Of course not. I'm sure that Tabitha never dreamed that she would be brought back from the dead. She wasn't premeditated in her acts of charity. We don't give to others so that we can expect to get something back. That's called giving with strings attached. If I do something for you, what are you going to do for me? But we do find this, that when we serve others, we experience joy and blessings in the giving, in the acts of mercy and charity. Now, some experiences of God are a mystery. How was Tabitha raised? We don't know. Why was she raised? Not everybody was brought back to life. We don't know. Why is one person healed of cancer and another person dies? We don't know. Asking these sorts of questions doesn't really provide us with answers. Faith is the only way we can approach God as devoted disciples. We must decide that we're going to commit ourselves to God and trust God with all the results, because we don't see as God sees. We follow Jesus no matter what. It's not a bargaining position, a proposition. We must give ourselves completely to God and trust that God will take care of us whether we live or whether we die. We belong to God. Jesus taught in Matthew 25 that whenever we helped those people in need of food, water, clothing, like Tabitha, a visit in prison, or visiting the sick, that we would minister to Jesus directly. So the next time you show mercy to another, or you give without expecting anything in return, know that you are ministering to Jesus himself. A lot of people like to help others by donating money, and money is a good thing, and it helps a lot. It's needed. But it's so much better if we get personally involved in doing ministry as well. When I was campus minister many years ago at UNO, I wanted to get the students to have that experience of service. So we signed up for a day for Habitat for Humanity. And I was so worried, I said, what in the world am I going to do? I can't hammer a nail. I'm not a painter. I'm not a construction person at all. You all who know me know I am not. And I thought, what am I going to do? I wanted to be a good example to these students, but I didn't know what I could contribute. So when we got there, the houses, they were working on three houses side by side in Littlewoods. This was way before Katrina. And I thought, Katrina probably took all those houses that we built away. But when we got there, they said, this lot has a bunch of trash on it. And the first thing that needs to happen is for this lot to be cleared. We can't build a house on it
in this condition. And I said, oh, I can pick up trash. So we all had our gloves and our boots, and we picked up trash. And so once the lot was cleared, they said the next thing that has to be done is to dig a ditch for the plumbing from here to the road. And I thought, there's no way. I'm going to last very long digging a ditch. But guess what? Those students were eager to dig the ditch. I mean, it was muddy, it was messy. Those students worked with all their heart digging that ditch for that house. And at the end of the day, they said to me, when can we come back and do this again? After all that hard work, they wanted to come back and do it again because they knew that it was serving somebody who needed a home to live in. And they were happy to do it. And they felt good about doing it. I also got to caulk some windows. I forgot about that. They showed me how to caulk a window, and I did that. That wasn't too hard. But when we get personally involved in doing ministry, sometimes people ask, well, how can I repay you, Pastor? What can we do? I always say, pay it forward. It's a phrase that was popular for a while that meant if you receive something good, some act of kindness or mercy, then you should go and be merciful to someone else. It doesn't have to be money involved. It can be sharing your lunch or sharing, maybe you have two jackets and somebody needs a jacket, whatever it might be. But that way, the mercy multiplies and grows whenever we share some person's need and meet that need. And if they go out and meet someone else's need, and they go out and meet someone else's need, then it just multiplies and grows. The goodwill, the love, the help. So a devoted disciple is not a person who has a PS attached that says, in case this doesn't work out the way I expect it to, then I'm going to stop showing mercy to other people. You see, we can't control what the results are. We can only give wisely. I don't just give my money anywhere and not know where it's going. First, I give to the church, and then if I want to give to somewhere else, I check it out before giving. We need to make sure that we are good stewards of the resources God gives. But we can't say, well, if this turns out not the way I expect, then I'm just going to stop doing mercy. God has never stopped showing mercy to people, and neither can we. We have to leave those results up to God. You might help somebody, and they might not be transformed today, but somewhere down the road, their life may change because of some love and some care that they received from someone who was a follower of Jesus. God sees, but sometimes we don't see. Our part is to give and serve wisely. God's part is to work a transformation in someone's life. We are the tools of God's hands of mercy. So I encourage us this morning to be devoted disciples, devoted to good works and acts of charity, just like our Lord Jesus was. Amen.